Greetings, every soul. This is Cosmic Love for November 3rd, 2012, and it's my great pleasure to be interviewing Dan Winter about his life's work pioneering the vast frontier of inner space. With this show, I'd like to recognize Dan with appreciation for his contribution to the mass awakening of global humanity this last 30 years in particular. And if you wonder how Dan can have approximately 2 million hits per month on his goldenmean.info website, then consider how the golden mean is actually the golden rule for the order of the universe, and that this rule is virtually a cosmic law governing the harmony of the spheres and co-creation with the universe in both form and frequency. This golden mean is thus cosmic law and the first principle of heart coherence on all levels from the atomic to the galactic. And thanks to Dan Winter, people worldwide are now aware of the science of spiritual geometry with the golden mean, heart coherence, and harmonic law governing all of creation. Dan Winter brought the modern science of quantum physics to the understanding of heart coherence, which is an idea that I believe has found its time. And millions of enlightened netizens worldwide have studied Dan's websites, and millions more are awakening with the natural heart coherence due to the surge in the source field through the solstice, December 21st. Now, I've discussed this source field phenomena thoroughly on my blog the last several months, and this is why I believe Dan's work is so important for those who are ready and willing to catch the wave of galactic alignment surge in the source field now. It's all in divine order, and the higher one's concept of that order, the greater the results for conscious evolution. So what I've been doing with pure geometry and metaphors for cosmic law has been kindergarten compared to Dan's profound understanding of sacred geometry. And there is a genius in simplicity, and Dan has shown the world how the golden rule, law, language for every golden age is within us with heart coherence. So let's welcome Dan Winter on Cosmic Love. Thanks for coming on the show with us today, Dan.
Well, you're pretty dedicated, too. I'm happy to be here.
Dan, I'd love to have a brief overview of your different websites so listeners can navigate them through your eyes. But before we go into that, it's my understanding from your work that heart coherence is a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm when the heart beats with coherent frequencies of, you might say, holy compassion. Could you qualify that understanding with what you mean by heart coherence and where the golden mean comes into that understanding?
Well, I was originally recognized for inventing the word heart coherence in the book Instinct to Heal because of my work in deriving the math to measure it. And I pioneered the use of a rare mathematic technique called the sepstrum, which is a second-order power spectra, which I discovered could be used to measure internal phase coherence. And that became the centerpiece of my invention, the Heart Link and the Heart Tuner, which uses a second order power spectra to measure internal phase coherence in the heart. And it's very simple. If you feel love, that peak called the sepstrum goes up. The pictures are at goldenmean.info/hearttunerspecial. It's literally a measurement of pure intention, because your heart becomes coherent, phase coherent, and sings when you feel a shareable wave. It's a beautiful thing. And so that's the mathematics. Now, what that has to do with golden ratio is a little bit deeper. After I invented the heart tuner and the term heart coherence, I developed a technique for measuring brain waves. And in the EEG, called the Bliss Tuner, which measures peak perception or bliss. And there we discover that when the harmonics in the brainwave reach golden ratio, generally between the alpha and the beta, that is a strong indicator of bliss, euphoria, peak perception. And we later discovered what that means. It's golden ratio optimizes what's called phase conjugation. If you visualize the caduceus or pine cones kissing noses, which turns out to be the kind of the mechanism of perception. worked out the mathematics of that. The reason Golden Ratio is important to physics is because it is the solution to the conjugation, the adding and multiplying of waves, and therefore the cause of centripetal compression, centripetal forces. And that mathematics is at fractalfield.com/mathematicsoffusion.
Well, everyone, lets that sink in for a moment. For those who came into the show late, this is Christopher Rudy, and I'm interviewing Dan Winter regarding highlights of his work the last 30 years. And from what I understand you're saying, Dan, the golden mean and the golden ratio, now they're synonymous?
Yes, the golden mean is self-organizing when waves interfere because it is the solution to constructive wave interference in general. And therefore, it is the climax of the form of coherence. Now, we made a film in the International Conference on Coherence. The website is fractalfield.com/coherence. And you can see the discussion of the origin of the concept of coherence as it applies to the heart and the history of that. And the summary is that, you know, waves can cohere when they can do constructive interference. And the climax of the form of constructive interference or implosion is golden ratio because it is the solution to how waves can add and multiply constructively, both wavelength and phase velocity. And as the phase velocities add and multiply constructively because of golden ratio, that turns compression into charge acceleration at the center. Remember, the phase velocities adding and multiplying constructively. And that is the only reason that gravity exists and the only reason that life force and perception and, in fact, color exist. And we put the mathematics in some detail in that article. So once you know the origin of centripetal forces, you know the origin of all self-organization. And phase conjugation is the only place physics has ever measured self-organization.
So this self-organization process, my understanding is the more information we have, the greater is the need to get it all in order. So this the self-organization process that is defined by this, you might say, harmonic resonance or coherence with these frequencies that you've practically applied with your Bliss tuner. And that now that evolved out of your heart tuner, as I understand, and how are they different?
We use the same preamplifier for the EKG and the EEG and the same spectrum analyzer. The Bliss tuner grew out of some work with Korotkov, which showed that golden ratio in brainwaves measured bliss and peak perception altered states. It's more fun to realize why, because when your brainwaves generate golden ratio, you implode charge, and that's the process by which you create perception itself. I'd like to give a practical example, speaking in terms of science, but hopefully simple science. Everyone knows that the electric field made by Stonehenge and stone dolmen causes seeds to germinate dramatically faster. So people are kind of accustomed to thinking that electric fields can be bioactive. It's the reason architecture should exist. But to understand the relationship between fusion and centripetal forces, I'd like to give a specific example. A good friend of ours, Dr. Edgley in Budapest there, he's using hydrogen to catalyze cold fusion in carbon. Now, I wrote a new equation for the radii of hydrogen, proving that the Planck length times exponents of golden ratio precisely predict hydrogen radii, and also Planck time times golden ratio predict the phase conjugate frequencies of implosion. So it was a new proof that hydrogen is fractal. goldenmean.info/goldenproof is the mathematics. Anyway, so when you use hydrogen to catalyze carbon fusion, you have an unlimited source of energy and you solve all the problems that Rossi and Defkelling, the other cold fusion people had because they didn't understand the isotope stairway. But the point I want to make here that's fun is, so here you have hydrogen, very fractal, catalyzing the cold fusion, which we need for our energy source. And you have 6 to 12 or so .0 coefficient of efficiency, power out versus power in. But the point that's interesting for this discussion is you also have a radiating field effect which causes invariably the people nearby are healed, which is to say infection goes away, people with a cold are healed. It's a very, very healing electric field which is caused by cold fusion. And I really suggest that the scientists in our audience meditate on that. It's well documented. They can read Edgley's PDF. It's elsewhere. Our other associates are working in bioactive fields. We know that fusion creates a healing bioactive field. And I really think that your audience should meditate on why, because it's very instructive.
Well, I'm really fascinated with what you're saying for several reasons, because you're talking about, from what I understand, you're talking about not only the electromagnetic field conditioning that will heal the effect of GMOs in the body and basically reboot the DNA with you might say, harmonic order of the body, you know, the homeostasis in the body. But you're also talking about hydrogen technology, technology for liberating oxygen and from water and the hydrogen that can burn and with devices, you know, that can be used to generate power for cars, homes, autos. But you're, to me, the most profound thing that you're saying, and I followed your work for years, you know, going back to when you were out here and lectured at John Fanuzzi's, and I have, you know, kept coming back to it. The most profound thing to me is the full implications of this biofeedback capability for a person to attune, to, you might say, recalibrate, and to attune or in tune, you might say, to frequencies of heart coherence that not just generate, you know, a prevailing awareness of bliss and ecstasy and enlightenment, but you know, have the capability to create a standard for interactive mass-to-mass communications with effective sensory perception that transcends time and space.
Well,
now, am I going too far with that?
Well, yeah, but let's try to be very practical. The heart tuner was expensive, and also my business partner, Frank, turned out to be a bit of a thief. But now we've developed a very inexpensive version for the iPhone, and people can see it at heartsring.com. And it allows large groups of people to learn to link hearts very simply with a breathing cue and heart rate variability feedback, where you can learn to phase lock and train and have a group mind experience with your tantric lover or your guru or your rock star or your DJ. And so you see all the data there. It's pretty impressive that you can link hearts with your iPhone. And also with even no external transducer required. But the literature on, well, the heartsring.com shows the onset of the possibility of human fusion by coherence. And I'd like to return to the concept of fusion in a moment. But for people who want more on the harmonic recipe for hydrolysis and hydrogen energy, it's fractalfield.com/hydrogen. The essential point, however, that I wanted to make about fusion being bioactive, where I wanted to go with this, hopefully the kind of fun stuff, is fusion in the blood. Now, we know that, of course, biologic transmutation is well documented, the work of Lewis Kevron and others, that, you know, biologic entities, humans and chickens, they can fabricate atoms that did not exist in their body, like calcium, phosphorus, etc. Well documented. So we know that biologic transmutation is real. But people have not thought about the dynamics of fusion in the blood as it relates to the origins of compassion. We know for sure that people who are cold-blooded inherently do not have compassion. But people haven't thought deeply about what that means. Those who have studied the matter, and we have a new paper coming out on this, that our more draconian ancestors, the Anunnaki Nephilim, their blood was a lipid-based and nitrogen-mediated phosphorus carrying the nitrogen, which is why oxygen is a poison to the Draco shapeshifters, and why if you pump oxygen into the U.S. Senate, the shapeshifters would leave. But that's another thing. It's also why Enlil who was called Yahweh, would be poisoned by the blood in the meat, and therefore why the Jews have to get the blood out of the meat. Because if you have a lipid-based blood, of course, then the water in the human blood is actually a poison, as oxygen is a poison to them. The point is that the Draco, the reptile, were cold-blooded. We know a lot about the physics. We therefore know why the dragons breathe fire, et cetera, and we know they were cold-blooded. And we also know that they did not have fusion in the blood, whereas human blood, you see, is the fusion is based on manganese to iron. And we know the low temperatures of that fusion. We actually have the isotope table. And when you have fusion in the blood, you are hot-blooded, warm-blooded. And we know the reason you can feel someone else's feelings is the fusion is happening in your blood. That is actually the physics of the Grail. And the nature of that fusion in the blood is hydrogen catalyzed. I mean, there's a whole beautiful story that ends with an instruction on how to do bliss by facilitating the chemistry of fusion in the blood. It's temperature critical, chemistry critical, and charge-dense critical. You require a charge-dense environment. We have a whole book on, you know, how to acquire the charge to have bliss. It's Ecstasy and Immortality is the title of the book, and the complete PDF is at goldenmean.info/consciouskids. So I didn't want to carry on, but I wanted to suggest how profound is the connection between access to fusion, which is literally charge implosion, and the origin of the centripetal forces, which is the cause of all compassion, the ability to feel someone else's feelings as if they're your own.
So the practical application of this that you've done fascinates me in several regards. What you're doing with water, what you're doing with consciousness, what you're doing with, you might say, consciousness in water, and that's something that's fascinated me, the tetrahedral structure of water and how it acts as a kind of a capacitor. It can hold energy, it can store energy. The body's mostly water, blood, you know, mostly water. And the water molecule, the way that it can hold frequency and discharge it, and that whole process of, you might say, frequency modulation using, you know, whether a person uses, you know, deep, effective meditation or uses your bliss tuner or... And this is something that fascinates me too. How the morphic fields of the Earth have been changing, evolving with the Mayans called, you know, the end of their calendar, but it's understood as galactic alignment with our solar system as it passes up across the galactic plane. You know, the precession of the equinox. But this is surging right now in the source field, and morphing the morphic field, and that's also you might say a heart coherence with source or. You know, the quantum field connecting all the torus fields from the atomic to galactic, and so I know enough of what you're saying technically, and having followed what you've done in the last many years, to have an understanding that what you're talking about is a highly technical explanation of something that is profound as, you know, a mother's love for their child, and
it's beautiful. I think it's nice if we try to use a language that's disciplined enough so that your physics and biology teacher are going to nod as we proceed. You know, we're in total agreement here. To just add a few of the science notes, the reason water is so self-organizing, of course, is the fractality of the hydrogen bond, and we have the new physics of it being literally phase conjugate, which is, by the way, the central bond of DNA, the rung on the ladder. So that becomes the clue to the centripetal nature of water itself. We turned that into a technology for growth acceleration at theimploder.com, where we combine the accurate angle of vorticity of water so that water becomes hydrodynamically centripetal. The vortex nozzle is called Schauberger's dream. And we combine that with a super powerful centripetal phase conjugate magnetics, 4,500 Gauss implosive magnetics, and the result is dramatic reduction in molecular cluster size and dramatic increase in solubility, and which is why we have the dramatic agricultural benefits, and we have more proof of agricultural results there than anyone, at theimploder.com. So that clearly the centripetal nature of water is essential, and the joke is that people are water's way of walking around. But getting to the second part of what you're saying about, you know, the compression wave from the galactic core, galactic superwave, and all that kind of stuff, and about, you know, going to the next dimension means you participate in all that. To try to put that in a language your science teacher could nod as you spoke, what is referred to as going to the next dimension is the process in a spin system of being able to superpose more harmonics in the rotating system. For example, when you rotate a cube in a dodecahedron, another series of harmonics is then present at the nodes, and that's called ascension. It's the physics of why the tilt angle of a cube into the dodeca, 32 degrees, is the chin angle of the Sphinx, and the mechanism of DNA, etc. And on macro level, then that's why when your heart harmonics, the number of harmonics present increase, that is the number of waves that can agree without hurting each other, that's called harmonic inclusiveness, and it's the way medical doctors measure whether you have an immune system and heart rate variability. So ascension is a name for how many harmonics have been superposed, and that turns out to be a name for how constructive is the plasma compression. So when we say the galactic superwave is coming, are you going to catch it? What that literally means is that can your plasma can become phase conjugate and spin dense enough to implode, which in practice means that if you haven't gotten used to having bliss experience, you will be toast instead of spin dense.
I like that. And so this whole thing of the bliss, you know, and basically the prevailing awareness of call it ecstasy or bliss or just enlightenment. There's a difference between processes or exercises or disciplines to condition that externally and internally. I like your explanations as I've heard that recent video of yours, that there's a difference between substances that are external that we use for stimulants to make us feel better that are addictive versus processes that are internal, you know, from the inside out, that are harmonic. You know, when I say harmonic, that are like heart coherence, that are, you know, that are basically aligned or attuned with, I call it the frequency of holy compassion, but you know, you can reference it scientifically as you know, specific, you know, wave frequency coordinates. But we're really looking at, from what I understand, the difference between internal stimulants for bliss that resonate from the inside out for self-empowerment in coherence with, I really call it source, you know, you can call it the frequency of holy compassion, but, you know, you can call it the order of the universe. But when I say source, and the source field, you know, the quantum field that's connected from atomic to galactic and every torus field in between, you know, from a cellular torus field to the auric field around the body. And, coming back to the heart, which is, what, 200 times stronger magnetically than the brain field?
The EKG's voltage is on the order of about 1 to 200 times the voltage. The EKG is measured in millivolts. EEG is in microvolts. Yeah, and yes, the centripetal nature of the EKG is ultimately more powerful in steering the tornado. But the EEG, of course, is going to be the fine-tuned navigator. The point might be that if a scientist were listening and wanted to say, well, how does this emotional coherence eventually steer the universe? And I think the way to explain that is that obviously a tornado or Hurricane Sandy is going to follow the center of lowest pressure. So if you ever observed a shaman steering a tornado, you notice first that his plasma, his charge field, embeds in the tornado, and the center of low pressure then becomes the director. And obviously, the center of lowest pressure is the center that is imploding. And we know that what happens to the human aura during bliss, you have golden ratio in EEG, and the body becomes centripetal electrically, macrocellularly, in terms of long waves, and that creates a low-pressure center, implosive. And that then becomes the how the tornado is navigated. And literally, of course, since all physics, as you say, is made of vortex or tornadoes or torus, that in fact, or string theory, wormholes, whatever language you use, it means that physics is nothing but tornadoes, which means if you can steer one, you can steer them all. So ultimately, you become centripetal enough to steer your own aura at death, but later, and if you can lucid dream, that's a pretty good indicator if you're going to be able to die well. And then ultimately, you make the centripetal force which steers things like stars. And we know when millions of children sing the same song, the solar flares respond dramatically. It's been measured 11 times. So we now know what was meant by stars needing what DNA makes. We make something centripetal that our star needs.
Well, it just fascinates me to no end to delve into how it's all connected in ways that, you know, follow natural cosmic universal laws of energy and manifestation that, you know, have always been, you know, you might say the portal or gateway from the inner from, you know, to what I call, you know, to inner space, and how to navigate, you know, the laws and language of the natural order of the universe for navigating this multidimensional frontier, you know, that's just really starting to pop, you know, in the collective consciousness of humanity, with more people interested in this and interested in particular in the practical applications of for example, your imploder, your water device, and that spin vortex, like mini tornado within the water, that anchors this frequency. Is that what they call Ormus water, by the way?
Actually, the imploder can be used to charge and help produce Ormus water. The imploder also reduces chlorine and increases sedimentation rate, as well as dramatically increases solubility. The Ormus water adds the feature of a dopant, which is the gold powder, which it's another example of what you're referring to about the difference between self-empowerment versus addiction in terms of did the fire come from within or from without. That addiction to the chemically derived gold powder is actually fractionating to your attention, whereas the naturally biologically derived sources of the gold powder, for example, the caustic alkaline derived agricultural ormes derived from seawater, that is actually a beautiful agricultural benefit, and we're using that as part of bloomthedesert.com, another one of our projects for reinventing agriculture. And just in terms of the sort of, as you say, the practical application of these things, we kind of concluded the section on the theory of what bliss is, which is basically the ability to implode and attract charge. And Celestine Prophecy agreed that all human interaction is about attracting charge. And so it's, you don't need a thick book to know what the purpose of life is. It's simply about getting a big enough aura to take that with you when you dream and when you die. And that's called phase coherence. It's a plasma body, and that is centripetal in the same way that if a seed is not centripetal, it's dead. So we know exactly what a soul is. It's the centripetal force and coherence of your aura. So we turned that into a hygiene for how to have bliss, basically live food diet, and don't live in dead environments. You need live air and live architecture and nature to attract charge, and then you need the yoga and to be able to withstand the lightning effect of Kundalini. And that's all in our Conscious Kids book, goldenmean.info/consciouskids. The PDF is complete there about, you know, the hygiene for bliss. And finally, in terms of a prediction, as you mentioned, the Mayan climax, our prediction is that even in the next few months, that there will be extremely increased solar activity and therefore volcanic and tectonic activity. And our lucid dreamers have seen that specifically the volcanoes in Antarctica, starting with Erebus and across, would cause about half of the Antarctic ice to melt, which scientists know will be about 60 to 100 feet of global sea level rise. And many lucid dreamers we work with are seeing that within months, not years. And they're saying that we need to prepare for these high water events urgently, actually. That's one of the things they're seeing. You know, that's on the physical level. On the psychological level, we believe that this is a compression event. And to survive compression, you need to be able to, you know, be compressed without heat, which obviously only fractals can do, which means your aura needs to be prepared for compression events, which is what Christians call the rapture.
I'm glad you mentioned that and went into that, because I've been getting from multiple sources, doing this radio talk show and having people on like yourself that are a lot smarter than me about a lot of this stuff. I've been getting the same trend line for the next several months that virtually requires for anyone that wants to be, you might say, ride the wave or thrive during this time, that needs to be like in that vortex of the hurricane, needs to be centered and connected with that kind of harmonious calm, a kind of a, you know, like at the center of the hurricane, the all-seeing eye. And if you get off center a little bit and get caught up in the swirl, you know, and lose that centered and connected harmony and a philosophic calm, you know, there's a dynamic there that virtually, you know, for thrival, you know, not just survival, but thrival. I've had one experience in my life where I've had what I, you know, early in my life, my early 20s, where I had that a type of bliss experience where, you know, the kundalini went up my spine, all my chakras went off, and it was just like in that bliss that is unspeakable, but any thought that I had to know anything, it was so clear. There was a type of effective sensory perception. There wasn't anything extra about it when I was there, if you know what I mean, to where it was so self-evident that this philosophic calm is the way to navigate inner space.
Mm. It's wonderful, and to have a sense of the biophysics of that and why that would affect the weather and your environment when you have the kundalini experience, which is measurable not just in the phonon in the sacrocranial pulse, but it's measurable in the microwave, and it affects the weather in your environment and other things. So we've written extensively on the biomechanics. I was taught by Bentoff. The article is goldenmean.info/kundalini. And yes, the physics is clear that as you feel the onset of a bliss experience, it's literally charge compression. And you either get centripetal or you're toasted. And what you're calling peacefulness is literally phase conjugate or fractal in the sense that you become centripetal, which defines all peacemaking, whether it's on the land or in your brainwaves or your EKG. All peacemaking is actually the onset of a centripetal force. And that becomes a curriculum for teaching all forms of peacemaking, goldenmean.info/peaceuniversity. So the onset of inner peace, if you want to call it that, is actually the onset of becoming centripetal. And to become centripetal is the place at the center of plasma fusion where waves can agree. And what happens is the phase velocities go through the speed of light by golden ratio multiples of C. And that creates a communication mechanism, which is called time travel or time lord, among other things, once you know what time is, which is just charge rotation. So the ability to participate in that world depends on your being able to be the center of plasma fusion, quite literally. And bliss is the beginning of plasma fusion in humans. And actually, it is the purpose of being human. And all other purposes are subsumed to that. And actually, when we pronounce this, the way we explain this to audiences is I was in a church in Italy teaching a couple hundred people. We were having fun. And I said, well, you know, the definition of having a culture is not the color of your wine or your shoe polish or your clothes. No, the definition of whether you have a culture is whether you can teach your young people how to have a bliss experience. So if you do not have the ability to teach your young people how to have bliss, you do not have a culture. And so I explained, of course, that the French and the Italians, by that definition, do not have a culture. And of course, do you know that the entire Italian audience stood up and cheered at that moment? Because they got it. They really got it. You know, the Aboriginals and the Native Americans, they have a culture. And the reason you could say that as an electrical engineer is because, of course, if you can't have a bliss experience, your aura doesn't get big enough to go through death. And therefore, there is no culture.
Wow. And this understanding of bliss and culture, you know, with bliss experience and basically the language and the laws and the principles, you know, the science, da-da-da-da, you know, and from kindergarten on through, you know, frames of reference that you might say geometrize the understanding of the spirit that matters, you know, ecstasy, bliss, enlightenment, and you know, it's of course, and we can say it's self-evident how that is that process is the emerging blueprint for a golden age to us. We can say that, but at the same time, you know, I'm wondering how much of this understanding of how it's all connected and how the morphic grids of the collective conscience of humanity is not just connected, you know, to you know, it's all one, and I think it's going one, to zero point, omega point, whatever we want to call it, into this next several months, that this is going on etherically just as the impact and the morphic grids of the earth and the tectonic plates are definitely connected to the morphic grids of humanity. So then the question is, how much of this understanding, as it goes critical mass, and people you know, culture with this enlightenment process, how much of that can mitigate, you know, basically the physical manifestations? In other words, is the timeline that people are seeing and remote viewers and other intuitives are seeing in the timeline, how much of that is a projection of their own lack of bliss, and how much of, as you might say, as enlightenment proceeds with what I call surge in the source field, you know, over the next several months, how much of that will, from the inside out, create a bliss enlightenment experience that morphs the grid physically?
Well, you know, we used to always have a rule of thumb that when you address an audience of physicists, which I've done many times, you divide the room into those who have or have not had a bliss experience.
There you go.
But really, it isn't so much about our proving the physics of what causes bliss, although we think we understand it very well as a charge implosion mechanism. And it isn't about convincing people that they must have a bliss experience. It's more simple. It's a matter of getting people to try it, which is to say, to try the hygiene. But you see, people who live in a metal city, in a metal building with air-conditioned air and zero capacitance, they will never, ever have a bliss experience. It cannot happen. Because, in fact, you implode your environment. And if your environment is not fractal or phase conjugate or charge dense, bliss is literally unsustainable. It's literally unhealthy to have a bliss experience in a metal building. So, in fact, what's desperately required is simple, to convince people to give their body an exposure to a charge-dense environment, which is living air and nature and yoga and live food, long enough so their body can give them a bliss experience, and then they don't need us. They've got it.
Yeah. So, there's the whole process of involving and evolving awareness from the outside in and the inside out. And there's this relationship that's going on, of course, between the two. We have institutions in global civilization now that some people would say no longer serve the purpose for which they were created, and are programming, you know, norms from the outside in that are unnormal or otherwise unhealthy. You know, like the healthcare systems, which is 97.5% disease care.
Well, yes, because there's a fundamental fear of self-empowerment in healthcare, and yet self-empowerment is the only way you'll ever steer your own aura. So if you can't take responsibility for your own health, you'll never take responsibility for your own aura or steer it when you die. So once self-empowerment is understood, then healthcare can be invented. And while we're at it, we could talk about the origin of religion in that regard. We know that the seraphim, which is draconian or angel, who founded the three great religions, named Gabriel, who spoke to Mary, and the Christianity began, and then Gabriel spoke to Muhammad, and the Muslims began, then Gabriel spoke to Joseph Smith, and the Mormons began. And in each case, Gabriel appeared as a white salamander, which you can see in the Mormon tradition, and he's described the white Draco in detail in Anton Parks' work, antonparks.com, we know the origin. And the Draco conception behind Gabriel's agenda in starting those religions had a mistake. And that mistake was believing that DNA that changed was defective. And that was the origin of the caste system in India, and the Aboriginal marriage law in Australia came right from Alpha Draconis. And that was Gabriel's. So there was a genetic agenda that was a mistake behind world religions, actually. Whereas, in fact, we now know that the self-organization called phase conjugation, when DNA actually becomes self-steering and self-aware, is the opposite. It is, in fact, genetic diversity, which is, we call that the Monsanto mistake, that in effect, genetic diversity is the only hope for maintaining a soul on this planet. So the agent of soullessness on this planet, in my view, is Monsanto, because they do not understand the primal need for genetic diversity. And yet, in fact, if you eat food from your store, every time you pick up some food that did not get genetic diversity, you get more mucus and your DNA gets more stupid.
I was just reading this last week that most Americans are eating their body weight in GMOs every year at this point.
Yeah, and it's not just GMO. Yeah, it's not just GMO that's the problem, although that is definitely a problem. But the deeper problem is to recognize what makes DNA intelligent. And let me tell you my favorite two-minute story about that. We had a Seneca Indian, a Twila Nietzsche's friend, who installed an heirloom seeds garden at my farm in western New York. So we had seven different color beans and seven different color tomatoes, extreme genetic diversity near the labyrinth at my farm. And later that year, we started eating those vegetables. And my friends were on the porch with me one night watching the sunset. And they said, "We just realized that your vegetables are more effective than LSD."
Really?
What happens was when you eat extreme genetic diversity, you have better visions than LSD. It's literally psychoactive. And the reason is simple. The DNA starts imploding and it gets self-aware. It gets smart. Just like the ancient blue corn of the Hopi that would only germinate if you sang the right song to it. And I saw the corn from Grandfather Dan, that cornmeal, you could use it to call the wind every time. And I know exactly why that DNA calls the wind. But the corn you can buy in your store today is the opposite. It is a poisonous, sinful, monoculture insult to the intelligence of all DNA and will absolutely cause mucus and make you stupid.
I believe that. Well, I know that. I mean, I just saw there was a video this last week that was on YouTube. It's only about it's not very long, but it goes through the two-year investigation that was done rather secretly in France with some big money behind them on GMOs. And it showed exactly what it was doing, and basically it was saying that this, you know, now they said that, you know, that it affects the DNA of the body, you know, permanently for generations after generations, but that does not take into account the power of energetic recalibration, you might say, of the DNA with heart coherence, as I understand it.
Yeah, that's it. And as a practical level on this planet, what we urgently need to do is get the DNA happy again. That's why I urge everyone to help educate Monsanto out of existence. When Monsanto sues any farmer who saves his own seed, that is the death of our gene pool. And when Monsanto's genetically modified corn, you know what element is in the GMO corn that causes the death of the bees? It's been worked out in great detail. Fractalfield.com/save the bees. It's all about a failure to recognize what DNA is for. Excuse me if I get excited. But we have all those pictures also at goldenmean.info/DNA manifesto. In effect, it's the difference between a culture that lives inside of metal machines that becomes soulless, and that's where our ancestors were, and we don't want to do Groundhog Day there.
Yeah, well, amen to that. I'm looking at, what's going on energetically with, dynamics that seem to be intensifying and accelerating, and again, over the next several months, I see it coming to, from multiple perspectives. I see a repeating pattern or common pattern of congruence or convergence with a greater understanding of this energetic phenomena that all kind of hinges on coherence or not. And when I say coherence, it's your explanation of heart coherence. You have a really good explanation on your website at goldenmean.info.
The article started at goldenmean.info/coherence. The updated film is at fractalfield.com/coherence. But basically, the onset of internal phase coherence in your EKG, as measured by the Sepstrom, my invention, the heart tuner, is a lie detector because your heart knows which wave is shareable. And the most shareable wave, called phase coherence, encounters zero resistance. And zero resistance to distribution is the physics of the collective unconscious or the communion of saints. In electrical engineering terms, it's called a phase conjugate dielectric. In religious terms, the word heaven, hey ave, where the breath of charge would fly, or the plains of Sharon, which even Lawrence Gardner recognized, are the phase conjugate field of the monoatomic gold, or the illusion fields. They all refer to the same physics. And that gets very practical when electrical engineers teach you how to die. You can only die properly if your plasma can become perfectly distributed. And that's obviously a place like the altar at Machu Picchu or, Stonehenge, places where you have a phase conjugate field. Fortunately, with Korotkov's help, we have four different electrical technologies for measuring sacred space, the proper place for birth and death. And that's all also in the pictures at the top of goldenmean.info/architecture.
Now, I'm really interested in this concept of bioarchitecture that you have. And of course, what you're really talking about is that the bioarchitecture, form that, as Mies van der Rohe once said, is that, the concept of form and function and form and frequency, at a DNA cellular level.
Yes, and it's not just theoretical. It's very practical. We have the book Seeds of Knowledge. We absolutely know scientifically that certain structures cause life. They cause seeds to grow. A stone circle accelerates life, and that's what the book Seeds of Knowledge proved. Now, we took that much further at goldenmean.info/architecture. We build structures that accelerate life. Purify.com, P-Y-R-A-P-H-I. Purify.com, just like pyramid, purify.com. And you can see the structure. It's called a phase conjugate dielectric. We measured, and you see the laboratory results, 40% acceleration in fermentation every time, zero power input to the correct capacitor, the same one that causes seeds to grow. So in effect, as we proved, as we showed historically from the dolichocephalic skull history and the Malta story, that the hermetic tradition was, in essence, the ability to make a structure that causes charge compression, a bioactive field called a kiva or a hypogeum. All the films are at goldenmean.info/Malta. So the hermetic knowledge of the dolichocephalic skull series, the Ptah culture and the Boheme cultures and the Malta cultures and then the kiva cultures, the hypogeum cultures, they were basically cultures that knew how to make the critical electric field, like the stone cavities in New England. They were proven. They weren't used.
Like kivas.
Yeah. These stone cavities were never used to store food. They were never used to live in. They were used to charge the seeds, and they were used to create a field for a shaman to project his plasma and to enable successful birth and death. And that was the savior of civilization, literally the turning point in civilization when you knew how to build a structure to accelerate life. And in fact, it's a testimony of the stupidity of biology today that they don't even know there is such a thing as a bioactive electric field. That is incredible stupidity, almost as stupid as not knowing why any object falls to the ground. I would never listen to any scientist who does not know bioactive fields exist and does not know why any object falls to the ground. Do not listen to scientists like that because they are stupid.
Well, you know, and what you're talking about as far as architecture, that, the expression, we shape our environment and our environment shapes us. And the idea of architecture that is not just a great, extraordinary energy field greenhouse, but, you know, to also live in, that concept of creating an environment in which our humanity will thrive. The circle concept of the kivas, you know, of course, I used to think that it was just a resonance thing.
Well, it is resonance.
Harmonic invocations, you know, but
it's a centripetal capacitance. It's a centripetal field. And again, excuse me for talking about the stupidity of today's science, but they don't know why any field is centripetal. That's why they don't know what life is, and they don't definitely do not know what architecture is. Because basically, if you can't build a structure that causes a seed to germinate, you absolutely do not have a clue what architecture is. You do not. But once you know how to make that kind of centripetal field effect, you can cause seeds to grow, you build a priori device which heals thousands of cases of cancer, and it's as simple as knowing what materials allow charge to compress and conjugate. It's simple. The capacitive field, charge field, the electric field, has to look like pine cones kissing noses, the origin of life, and that's how it becomes centripetal. So in effect, you're simply building a living electric field. What does that translate to mean? That translates to mean that steel and aluminum are poisonous to every living thing because their capacitance is the opposite of conjugate. You put some seeds in steel or aluminum cups, they're going to die. So do not send your children to a steel and aluminum school. Steiner certainly would not.
Yeah. So from my understanding, there is an energetic phenomena that goes on with layers of organic and inorganic material. To create like an organ energy generator, an organ energy field that can concentrate organ energy or life force energy. Is this what you're talking about, living architecture?
Orgone was a misnomer initiated by Wilhelm Reich for a phase-conjugating dielectric in the same way Steiner called it etheric formative force. Both gentlemen didn't understand capacitance. So they invented words which really don't fit electrical engineering. The correct electrical engineering term is a conjugating dielectric. Initially, what happens is you have a conductive layer alternating with an organic non-conductive layer. The key is that the molecules of the organic layer, what you're calling orgone, every time a molecule is part of life, it gets nudged more into a fractal, as say conjugate, and therefore the capacitance, the charge lines going through it, make that screw-like pine cone effect. And that's what causes conjugation, what you call orgone, or a centripetal dielectric.
Well, I'm fascinated also with, you know, this concept of the sphere, with, you know, people that create spheres, like, say, for two people or for putting water in or for putting seeds in it, through a sphere that's at least two-thirds of the sphere made with a crystal aggregate that consecrates the Schumann resonance of the Earth. And that you can get in that, you can make small ones, they're rather easy to build, and that it's got to be at least two-thirds of a complete sphere, you know, you enter in through underneath of it or, you know, partially underneath of it, and that the crystal of just like aggregate, you know, white crystal aggregate, you can buy truckloads of it, you know, and that you make, you can mortar that on the sphere, and there's different ways to create the sphere, but the point is that it actually concentrates and resonates with the Schumann resonance of the Earth, which is like the heartbeat, you know, for heart coherence with the Earth frequency. Have you heard of this being done before?
Well, the ones who are using a clear resonant and putting little aluminum and steel chips inside, they're making a capacitance which will break up a geopathic zone, but they will not assemble any charge. So they're very good for breaking up geopathics. To entrain the Schumann, it's better to start with natural biologic materials, which are inherently centripetal, and therefore you can actually create a bioactive field. But another thing to point out is that spheres actually are anti-biologic in the sense that a sphere is a charge isolator, and biology almost never uses it. In fact, the way you measure whether a cell is cancerous is if it's a sphere, whereas the egg shape, which is projective or pine cone like, is mechanic of almost all healthy cells in life because it's plasma projective. So obviously, a cancer is more cancerous. A cell is more cancerous if it's spherical, simply because it is now failing to project charge.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. This understanding of the geometry of a space, and in your case, if you were going to create a greenhouse that you're going to live in or otherwise grow things in, you would create there would be a certain geometry to it, and there'd be certain materials used, and you would of course use your imploder water on the plants. And you would drink it.
You know, use the pine cone, the egg shape. And the critical thing is, I mean, the critical elements of biologic architecture is that almost all the material of the building are biologically origin material, living material. And any Steiner school follows those rules. But then you need to also be very careful about electrosmog, and you need to make a magnetic map of the site, because the centripetal center of charge needs to be the center of the building. It will be the heart of the building. And then you need layer the materials so as to create concentricity, fractality, and implosion. And then you also avoid putting people over underground water and things, because your aura kind of slips away when you sleep, if you sleep over a water vein. So there's all the geobiological aspects. GoldenMean.info/geobiology has a lot of those pictures in addition to the architecture site.
Well, we're getting to the end of our time. I wanted to thank you for specifically orienting your different websites, and those who are listening to this presentation in the future, or listening to the archives, of course, that you'd be able to stop the tape and get the exact references to the websites. But at the same time, I've listed most of them, specifically the Golden Mean Info, GoldenMean.info website, which is kind of like a table of contents for a lot of the other websites. And this has been really good, Dan. I mean, I'm as far as a pretty good comprehensive orientation of, you know, the different practical applications and the science of these, you know, applications from the iPhone. That's an application you buy for the iPhone, or is it?
Yes, it will be on the App Store shortly. It's called Hearts Ring, heartsring.com. And it's a way to link hearts over your iPhone. It's beautiful. You use breath entrainment for heart rate variability and the key frequency of your heart. You can link with other people and experience that fusion, that tingle, that presence. And again, the exciting message that it's really sort of got me going these days is now that we have strong evidence that the solution to all our energy problems, the physics of literally cold fusion, creates a field which is bioactive and healing. So when you make a field centripetal, self-organized, cold fusion, and you've got that beautiful infinite source of energy, it turns out to be profoundly healing, which is a clue to the nature of human fusion. And that's what we're going for at heartsring.com.
Oh, that's really exciting. And I'm also fascinated with what you're doing with water and the vortex energy that's used to vitalize germination and plant growth. That, to me, is just amazing. And
people report feeling extremely energized from the water, theimploder.com. Check it out.
Yeah. And so just across the board, those who are listening, I want to thank you for listening. And Dan, thanks so much for giving meaning to the golden mean and the golden age with heart coherence. And thanks to Dan, millions of people worldwide, I really believe, have pure intention to pay attention with greater retention of this evolutionary ascension standard, the golden mean, as will be used by global humanity to navigate the multiple dimensions of the unified source field here on Earth as in heaven. So I thank you, Dan, for basically introducing us to the beginning of a golden age.
Thank you. Let's use our disciplined science to understand the romance of bliss and real spiritual growth. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Dan. Happy trails, everyone, until we meet again. Bye
for
now.
Good night.